This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning and hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us this morning on this bright weekend morning. And even though it might be raining somewhere, but I've got some great information that is certainly bright. And with us now to help us to share that information is our co-host on our program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder and the heart and soul of Ripple Connects. The name of the company is Ripple Connects. You can find him online at rippleconnects.com. The telephone number to reach Joe McKenzie is 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome back.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And I'm just a bit excited. I'm curious about today's topic, which is,
you are.
Which
okay.
is yes, think twice about applying for posted jobs. Think twice. Why should we think twice about a job search strategy that involves responding to the LinkedIn, responding to the inquiries, and it's posted here, it's posted there? Why should we think twice, Joe McKenzie?
Well, the longtime New Beginnings listeners know that we've talked about the hidden job market for a number of years, the unadvertised jobs. So when we think of just posted jobs and applying as many as we can and not knowing what we're stepping into, I think a lot of our energy gets displaced with posted jobs. And we're not enough energies in reserve for the unposted jobs or the hidden job market. That's why I want people to think twice about only applying for jobs, because you can get caught up in a hiring process that literally could be drawn out for months, Freddie. You could be just introduced into the hiring process just to meet the requirements of having five people as their finalist. If you don't know that and you spend 90 days applying for a job and going through this process and think you have a chance, that's why I want people to think twice. I'm not saying not apply for jobs that you think you qualify for or you'd want, but just don't just apply for jobs to apply for jobs' sake, because we get caught up in that scenario. We lose complete control when we just press send. We take control of our own job searches, Freddie, by marketing ourselves, by engaging with our bench of advocates, by being referred in somewhere, quite possibly for a job that hasn't posted yet. But again, if you're spending all your time applying to posted jobs and you leave little time for the self-marketing or building out that bench of advocates and uncovering, unearthing opportunities in the hidden job market, Freddie Bell, you won't have enough time and energy to seek opportunities there. And often the opportunities in the hidden job market can be richer than the ones that are posted.
Interesting, everybody. We're talking to Joe McKenzie, the co-host on New Beginnings, about thinking twice about applying for posted jobs. And I'm thinking now, I don't know why I went there, but I'm thinking about the college student whose career may seem to be thwarted because of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. How does the bench of advocates play into this when you're talking about thinking twice about the posted job? Does a college graduate have a bench of advocates to which they can turn to uncover that unhidden job opportunity? Uncover that hidden job opportunity, I should say.
Yes, they do. They may not have as big a bench of advocates is someone like me or you after many years of working with people and serving in volunteer capacities. But a college student coming out, even if they realize that there is jobs that are unadvertised, that's a win for them. That's a small win for them. But their bench of advocates could be someone in their family. I've helped them. I'm from a big family, and you know, the New Beginnings listeners know me as Joe McKenzie, but I'm Uncle Joe McKenzie to many of my nieces and nephews. And I've helped them to uncover opportunities in the hidden job market. And I did that through people that maybe I'd know that maybe they should talk to. My guess is that a college student might have a family member or someone in their faith organization, Freddie, or maybe someone that they served with in a volunteer capacity while they're in college. They may have done an internship somewhere that they built up rapport with someone at that company. That person that they served with in an internship could be one of the early people on their bench of advocates.
Everybody, Joe McKenzie with us this weekend on New Beginning. So in your estimation, Joe, what's a more effective and practical approach for someone in a job search today, be it a college student or be it a seasoned professional who's beyond 50?
A balanced approach, knowing that the hidden job market's there and there's rich opportunities if you work it and you engage with that bench of advocates, but also you have more discernment about the posted jobs. If you know that, if you don't know anybody at that organization and you apply and it's dragging out month after month and you're not getting an answer, again, you may have been pulled into that hiring process just to meet some kind of internal requirement, and you don't know. You go on for weeks not knowing your status. Even if you just know, if you can get some information about those jobs, even just the industry or the company, and use LinkedIn to connect with them versus just blindly applying for jobs, Freddie, that's not good use of your time. You get your hopes dashed. A lot of energy is consumed by waiting for somebody to get back to you when you could be proactively getting out there, building your bench of advocates, having Zoom meetings, understanding some of the unique needs and real job needs of these positions. The takeaway here is, Freddie, it has to be balanced. You have to be aware of the opportunities in the hidden job market. For anybody that's ever listened, I have an article on Minnesota's hidden job market, and it has been a link on rippleconnects.com for almost 6 years. That's how much I believe that there's opportunities in the hidden job market, and that is a great article written by Rachel Vilsack, who talked about the hidden job market years ago. It's out there, but I want people to be aware of it and have a balanced approach to their posted jobs, their job search.
Interesting. Everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about thinking twice about applying for posted jobs. So where do we begin, Joe McKenzie? How do we start this ball rolling when a job seeker is looking to integrate self-marketing? Now, let's peel back just for a second. So are you talking, what is self-marketing? Is that social media? Is it you're writing a book about yourself? What is self-marketing when we talk about it in this context?
Yeah, self-marketing is essentially using all the tools at your disposal, and social media, LinkedIn particularly, can help you brand yourself, can help feature some of your skills. But self-marketing is a more proactive approach, in my book, of sitting down and talking with somebody that you already know that could be in a position, and hopefully it's someone on your bench of advocates that can connect you to someone that bench of advocates person knows who you're looking to talk to further this to have that next conversation. Self-marketing is more than just a resume. It's more than a LinkedIn profile. It's really, what are you asking for? What I really need at this point in my career. I need a full-time job. I'm seeking a full-time job. I want to reinvent myself in Minnesota's nonprofit sector. I want to be an entrepreneur and I want to work in this area. That's self-marketing, Freddie, and really coming back to what's in it for the employer. And that's extra leverage you get with an advocate when they realize what's in it for the employer. Often they know you as a person, Freddie, but they may not know what's in it for the employer. And that's part of self-marketing. Armed with that type of knowledge, someone can say, oh, I didn't realize that, you're astute at getting into accounts and learning how to build partnerships or build out networks or build out programs. I just knew you as this title. Self-marketing is talking about yourself and what's in it for the employer, along with asking for what you want.
And now let's fold in the self-marketing. How do we fold in that, integrating it into the job search?
Start with your bench of advocates. Work your way out, because what you're doing is you're playing a longer game here, Freddie. You want future conversations with people. And a lot of times those advocates have that high level of, that you have a high level of trust with and vice versa. They're more willing to connect you to somebody that's, you're going to be able to build that, that trust earlier than later. And they also are probably better listeners than people that you don't know. And that's really what we need when we're trying to get in and unearth opportunities in the hidden job market. I never would have realized the career path that I've taken 15 years ago. But most of it has come through the hidden job market. And it's people that I've known, that I've worked with, served with. And that's been my difference in my career path, that I've been able to reinvent myself. But that skill set, Freddie, those are the transferable skills I've talked about on the program, have been along for the ride. But most people don't know what your transferable skills are. And that is a that's also a big part of self-marketing.
Great. Joe McKenzie, we're out of time, and you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, rippleconnects.com.
Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, F-R-E-D-D-I-E-B-E-L-L, FreddieBell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply FreddieBell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Freddie@FreddieBell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@FreddieBell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, FreddieBell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a point at listening each week. Right here. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Please welcome to our program this morning Dr. Wanda Whitney Cherney, who is a pediatric hematologist and oncologist at Children's Hospital of Michigan, and also Casey Morris, who grew up with sickle cell disease, who is also now a middle school teacher, talking about her experience transitioning to adult care. And I'm wondering, why is it important for us to understand the transitions as we go from COVID back into going back to school and also just back into society? Dr. Cherney, how would you address that?
Well, you know, particularly around transition, it's a very important time in everybody's life, you know, when you're transitioning from being a teenager to being an adult. But it's even a bigger issue when you have a chronic illness like sickle cell disease. Mm-hmm. And that's a time when people are having to take on more responsibility for their health care. And there are lots of challenges. Frequently, people are leaving high school and going to college. And so then there's that whole new environment. Maybe it's a new city. It's a whole new team of doctors. And the pediatric setting for sickle cell disease is very different from the adult setting. You know, your parents aren't with you when you go in to give your history. So you have to really take charge of your own health care in addition to all the other challenges, because you're taking charge of your life, you know, because you're living independently. You know, and then there's the stress of wanting to make sure you get good grades and also have a good time when you're in school. So it's really a balancing act. So that whole transition period, you know, and then with COVID-19, then that just adds an extra layer of things that you need to do to really protect yourself, and you know, wearing a mask and washing your hands and not touching your face and all the things, and crowds, you know, just not, we want to do social distancing, and people in college want to party, you know, so there are lots of things that are that we have to rise to the occasion, because this is the time we're living in.
I hadn't planned to ask you this, but I've not seen any documentation. No one's talking about it until I just heard you kind of mention it. Can you talk about how sickle cell disease plays into COVID-19? And it seems to me, just based on the little bit that you said, that there is a more acute concern with especially Black people with the trait and with the disease as it relates to COVID-19. Is that a fair statement?
That is definitely a fair statement. And you know that COVID-19 is having a bigger impact on the African-American community at large. And sickle cell disease basically, you know, most commonly in our country affects African-Americans. And because of their compromised immune system, the individuals with sickle cell disease are more susceptible to COVID-19. So we really have to protect them and educate them in ways to protect themselves.
Casey,
but what you're saying is quite accurate, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Well, you spurred that question. And Casey Morris, there's a racial portion of this dealing with sickle cell as you go through school and even through life. Can you talk about your experience with sickle cell as it relates to race?
Absolutely. Oftentimes you'll find in hospitalizations, or I found in hospitalizations, that you're judged. You are told that you're seeking medication. You're told that you're seeking narcotics for recreational use, when the reality is, when you're in extreme pain, it's hard to vocalize what exactly is happening to you in your body as it pertains to sickle cell. So while I may be having trouble breathing, crying, it's hard to explain, you know, the medication that I necessarily need. And when I finally do, people racially profile you and say, you know, you're a young African-American woman who's just drug seeking. And that is not the case. And so we need to, you know, get rid of that stereotyping.
Casey, it seems as if the symptoms of sickle cell disease are very similar, if not identical, to those of COVID-19. Is that a fair statement as well?
I would refer to Dr. Cherney on that particular topic. My experience with sickle cell, I've experienced excruciating pain, and I've been, knock on wood, fortunate enough to keep myself safe and healthy and socially distanced and wearing masks and not have any issues with COVID. But from, you know, what I've seen on the news and what I've heard, yeah, there are some issues with lungs and breathing issues that you can experience when you live with sickle cell anemia.
Yeah, just a quick question for Casey. As a middle school teacher, are you back in the classrooms? Are you concerned about going back in the classrooms, being that you are a sickle cell patient and with the COVID-19 and everything that's happening? Are you actually physically back in class?
I'm really, really fortunate in the school system that I work in Connecticut has been very open and very helpful to me in voicing my own opinions and my own concerns about coming back into the classroom and, you know, not being on campus all day, all the time. I love teaching my students, and I definitely want to be there for them in that environment, but staying spaced and wearing my mask is all well and good, but only as it, you know, pertains to a few minutes per day. So if it's a balance between half virtual, half in person, that's great. If it needs to be fully virtual, that's great as well. And they're super supportive of my decision to, you know, do the half and half until I figure out what's most comfortable for me. And also best for the students, whether they're living with sickle cell or not.
Can you talk about the healthy habits that can help anyone, either with sickle cell and COVID, to transition and to make sure that we all stay safe?
Casey's talked a lot about this, but, you know, staying well hydrated, you know, and trying to manage your stress. And, you know, you just have to know your body, and you have to pay attention to your triggers, and you have to just have a healthcare plan, you know, so that you're not crisis oriented. But we are really partnering with Global Blood Therapeutics to raise awareness about sickle cell disease. And September is Sickle Cell Awareness Month, so this is a really good time to do it. But we also want to call attention to the first FDA-approved medication that actually targets the root cause of sickle cell disease, which is that red blood cell. And so it helps to stop the cell from sickling, and then if we stop the cell from sickling, we don't have the problems that you have in sickle cell disease. All medications have side effects. But the thing that we see most commonly is loose stools or diarrhea. And so it's really important that you talk to your doctor about your healthcare plan and what is best, and that you always make sure that you keep taking all your prescription medications. You don't have your parents there anymore to remind you, so you got to make sure that you're taking your medications, that you know what they're for, and you know what the doses are.
We're just about out of time. Casey Morris, do you have a final thought for our Twin Cities audience this morning?
Absolutely. Just as, you know, Dr. Herring was saying, taking a front seat to your own healthcare is really, really important. There's a lot of great information on sicklecellspeaks.com for patients out there, for parents out there, for doctors out there that are looking for more information on sickle cell, you know, keeping yourself abreast of all things that you need to take care of yourself, as well as staying hydrated.
Dr. Whitten Cherney, can you talk about, as we say goodbye, the inspiration that led you to this work of sickle cell disease?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that. My father, Dr. Charles Whitten, was the founder of the National Association for Sickle Cell Disease, which is now the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America, Michigan chapter, and was really a pioneer in the field and instrumental in getting the newborn screening program started that's now nationwide. And I just am really trying to continue his legacy, and I really appreciate your allowing me to mention him. Because he was very instrumental in sickle cell disease. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you and your family's work. And thank you, Casey Morris, for stopping in with us and sharing some important information about sickle cell disease during September, which is Sickle Cell Disease Awareness Month. Thank you both for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
You can find her by calling 952-222-3975 or online at westmetrohypnosis.com. We've really gotten into the function of our minds. And this week, oddly enough, we're talking about the function of the brain. How so this weekend?
Well, I think when people understand the different functions of what their mind and brain and nervous system are supposed to be doing, it allows us to kind of take a step back and not take things so personally. And we can unpack things a little bit different. And so most people don't even know what the five functions of the brain is as it pertains to the nervous system. And this is, of course, in addition to like regulating your breathing and your heart rate and all that stuff. This is as it pertains to you, to your mind per se. And the number one of the functions of the brain is to note different sensations. And sensations, if you think about it, those are non-negotiables. You can, right now, you have the sensation of your feet touching the ground. Maybe you have the sensation of a certain scent that you're picking up on, that you're smelling, the sensation of what it is that you are seeing, what you are hearing. That is the information from the outer world being processed into your brain through your nervous system. The second role is that of perception. The mind is there to perceive information. And just as sensations are non-negotiables, perception is highly individualistic, meaning what you perceive to be true and what I perceive to be true are two different things. So if we take that sensation, perhaps of both of us simultaneously smelling an apple pie baking, that through your perception, based on your beliefs and your experiences, may have a completely different meaning to what the smell of apple pie means to me. So perception is about matching the information and making it match between what is happening in the mind and what is happening in the body. The third thing, the third role of the mind is to process emotions. And emotions are nothing more than information about the state of mind that we are in. Emotions are not good, bad, right, or wrong. They just simply are more pieces of information. The fourth is thought production. Our minds produce thoughts. Now, we don't have to follow a thought. If we think about it, a lot of the thoughts that we have, it's like a 24-hour news station running all the time with that little news ticker constantly going on and with a lot of commercial interruptions. I mean, we've got some really crazy thoughts sometimes. The nice thing about that is you get to change your thoughts just like you can go up and change the channel of a TV program. And the fifth one is action. The action piece is really, really key. And the action piece, we talked about neuroplasticity, keeping your brain young at heart. The action piece is what keeps your what keeps that neuroplasticity in place. So whatever form we want to move into, whatever dream we have, it's not enough to just think about it. We have to start putting some action behind it so that our minds stay flexible enough to really start making this happen. So I hope these five things have helped you have a deeper understanding of what it is that your mind is even supposed to be doing for you.
Wow. I know a lot more than I did before the conversation started. That's Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis, 952-222-3975. And thank you so much for enlightening us this weekend, Kelly.
Thank you, Freddie.
And New Beginnings continues right now.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Please welcome an individual who has a direct hand in this upcoming election for November. We just came through an interesting one with only minor hiccups in the whole system for the primary. Please welcome Secretary of State for Minnesota, Steve Simon. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
The coronavirus has put a large part of our lives on hold, but certainly not the election, maybe just a different wrinkle. What can we expect going into the November elections in Minnesota, sir?
Well, you're right. Coronavirus has really changed a lot. And so we've got to think about this election a little bit differently. Usually I'd be out at a time like this talking about how you need to vote, you need to register, and that's all, of course, still true. But there are a couple specific things that I'm talking about these days that I wouldn't be in a normal year, and this is not a normal year. So the way I look at it is this. We got about an average of 1,000 people per polling place around Minnesota. That's the average. Mm-hmm. And from a health standpoint, we want to try to get that number down if we can. So I basically have two big asks of everybody in Minnesota. Number one is for folks to consider voting from home this year. You don't have to. You can go to the polling place, of course, but consider doing that. It's super easy. You can go to a website. The website is mnvotes.org, mnvotes.org. It takes you 5 minutes maximum. Get that ballot sent to you at home. You can vote with your feet up, vote while you're eating a meal, watching TV, whatever. Mm-hmm. Plus, every person who votes this year from home is arguably making the polling place just a little bit safer for those who do show up on election day. So that's kind of the first thing that I'm typically talking about.
Everyone, we're talking with Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon about voting this year. So the first one is vote from home. And what is your second ask?
Well, the second ask is related to that. It's that people consider being a poll worker or a so-called election judge. Same term, means the same thing. We need folks to step up and do that work at the polls on election day. It's a paid gig. I always remind people, some folks think it's a volunteer job. It's not. You even get paid for the 2 hours of training that you have to take. It's a great way to help out democracy. You aren't tied to your own city or neighborhood or county. If you live in Minneapolis and you hear they need help in, you know, St. Paul or Eagan or whatever, you can go there if you want. And it's just a great opportunity. We're making it as safe as possible. We've spent the time and money in our office to buy and distribute to every one of our polling places high-grade masks for all the election workers, masks also for our voters. We got hand sanitizers, pumps, wipes, rules in place for social distancing, use of pens, wipe down of the polling space, all that stuff. So we're going to make it a safe deal for everyone. And we just need folks to help out to make sure that the show runs smoothly on election day.
You mentioned the two asks for the November general election. Tell us what the turnout was for the primary and what learnings, if any, did you have from the primary elections that you'll take into the general election, Mr. Secretary?
Yeah, turnout was really high for a primary. It was above 20%, which is for a primary election really, really high. And the cool part about it, from my standpoint, it was the first election anyone can remember, maybe ever, where a majority of the voters voted from home. Only 40% of the voters in that primary actually went physically on primary day. The rest did what I'm talking about. They got the ballot, they ordered it home, and they voted from home. So I'm not sure the same balance will be there on November 3rd, whether it'll be 60-40. All I know is more and more people are taking advantage of that, which has other effects. You know, that means we got to plan a little bit differently around that if we're going to have fewer people in the polling places, but more doing it from home and popping it in the mail. We got to be attentive to that as well. So that's a big takeaway for me.
So is the state ready for all these mail-in ballots, sir?
I think we are. I think we are. And even though, you know, your listeners are hearing stories about the Postal Service and slowdowns, hey, we got this built-in one-week period where even if you wait until Election Day, which is the last possible day to mail it, you still have a built-in 7 days. You don't have to send it on Election Day. I also tell folks that if you're jittery a little bit about the Postal Service for whatever reason, just because you got it by mail doesn't mean you have to return it by mail. You can always hand deliver it to the address on the envelope or have someone you know and trust deliver it for you. Either way, there are workarounds. There are ways to get around even a potential delay in the Postal Service. I'm just putting this out there as an option for safety and for making sure that, you know, we have an orderly election.
Everyone, talking with now the Minnesota Secretary of State, Steve Simon. Do you have a final thought for individuals who are listening who are wondering if their vote really does count in a pandemic?
Absolutely, yes. And that website I mentioned, mnvotes.org, You can do a bunch of stuff on that website. You can register to vote right there online. You can order your ballot to come to you at home. You can also track your ballot. Speaking of your vote counting, you don't have to just pop it in the mail and say a prayer and hope that it gets there. You can track it like an Amazon package or like a, you know, package. You can go put in your info and know for sure. It'll give you a notice. Yep, it arrived on this day. Or yep, it arrived. It's being processed. It's being counted. You don't have to wonder or guess. That's a really nice feature.
Really is. I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning and sharing with our Minnesota audience about voting and the safety of it and the convenience in the upcoming November elections. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us now is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, Kitty Harris, property manager and newly minted, I should say. If you'd like to reach out to Kitty, you can reach her directly at 612-344-2221. The Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is located at 1015 4th Avenue North. That's in Minneapolis. Good morning, Kitty, and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. And I'm seeing all this construction around the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority. What's new with regard to the complexes and housing?
Yes, we have a lot of exciting projects going on in the midst of the COVID craziness around us. MPHA is currently remodeling one of our senior high-rises, the Elliott Twins, which is downtown near Viking Stadium. I was going to call it Humphrey. That's dating myself.
Yes.
But what we're doing is we are renovating our senior units, and we're building a link in between the buildings that will have a state-of-the-art community gathering space for our residents, as well as a lot of other amenities that seniors will need as they are aging in place. And so we're very excited to have the opportunity to leverage some available funds in order to provide this service. And none of our residents have to be displaced during this time. So they're kind of living in a construction zone. But it's exciting to see the new endeavors that we're doing to our existing properties, as well as creating new properties and partnerships.
So do the new properties give you more space, or is this a replacement for some older facilities that have gone out of commission?
Well, the Elliott Twins one is just kind of giving that building a facelift, but our new property, people who may have driven past our main office at 1001 Washington would probably notice where Zakara's Produce used to be. There stands a new beautiful building. It's a multi-income housing facility. We're going to have some project-based vouchers there. So that is creating new housing that was not there in the community, and it's right by our main office, and it's called the Redwood. It's another one of our community partnerships. And so what MPHA has been trying to do over the last couple of years is attach ourselves to businesses that want to bring more housing to the community and see how we can partner and make sure that it's affordable and accessible for the community.
Everyone, we're talking with Kitty Harris, property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center in North Minneapolis. So in that regard, housing is a prime concern for everyone, no matter your age. If someone wants to get into Minneapolis public housing, what are the steps required to start that process?
And so I'm glad you asked that, Freddie, because it's a common misnomer when it comes to public housing. So MPHA has 42 high-rises throughout the city of Minneapolis. And one of the things about our public housing is that application process is never closed. We are always accepting applications for persons that are seniors or are disabled. Obviously, people cannot come in to obtain an application, but they can give us a phone call at 612-344-1400. We typically would accept those applications on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays as a walk-in. But now that we are closed, people are able to call and get information on how they can apply for public housing. if they are a senior or they're 18 plus disabled, we do have that option available. And then also I want to mention that our sister to the across the river, our sister in St. Paul, the St. Paul Housing Authority will also be opening its waiting list in the upcoming weeks. And so I encourage people to visit the St. Paul Housing Authority's website and find out more information about their upcoming waitlist opportunities as well.
All right. And what's the website in case our listeners may have missed a couple of the telephone numbers or websites specifically for open housing?
So for MPHA, they can go to www.mphaonline.org. And for the St. Paul Housing Authority, they can go to www.ststpha.org.
All right, Kitty, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Freddie. You have a great day.
And New Beginnings continues right now. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
We shouldn't believe what others say, and we shouldn't believe what we say ourselves. He writes, to be skeptical is not to believe everything you hear. You don't believe it because it's not the truth. That's all. You don't believe it because it's a bad thing to believe. You don't not believe it because it's confusing. You just acknowledge that it is not the truth in a whole and lasting way. He goes further to say, and listen to this, people. I don't want to have to get the drill sergeant out again. Listen to this. Ruiz says, the truth doesn't need you to believe it. The truth simply is. And it survives whether you believe it or not. Lies need you to believe them. If you don't believe lies, they don't survive your skepticism, and they simply disappear. Did you catch that difference? In discerning a truth about yourself, someone else, the world, or whatever, ask yourself, does this statement outlive me? When I'm gone, will the statement still be true? If it's a lie, a delusion, it needs my attention to keep it going. So if I withdraw my attention, it fades away. This is one way we can discern between truth and semblance or appearance or circumstance. What will last when we are gone, and what will pass away with us? I always use the example because it's easy for me to remember. If I get angry, if I'm jealous or envious about something, when I give that up or move on, it's gone. It was my creation and I have to sustain it. When I perceive something in the world that I declare as beautiful, or I see as wisdom or love expressing through an individual, that lasts. That beauty carries on. It's not dependent. The beauty of nature, we may see it and enjoy it, but it's going to continue whether we're paying attention to it or not. The things that are essential and lasting and the things that fade. Are you skeptical? How about when you were a curious child? Remember those questions? Your parents would make a statement and you'd reply, James, do your homework. Why? Because you need to learn your lessons.
Why?
Because it will educate you.
Why?
So you can grow up and be productive.
Why?
Because I said so. There was always the end. I can't go any further with your skeptical questions. Do it because I'm your parent and I told you to. I remember when I was in Sunday school in about the fifth grade, the minister was visiting our class that Sunday and asked if we believed in miracles. Everyone nodded, of course. Anyone not believe in miracles? Well, I was sitting there thinking in my mind, I really wasn't so sure exactly what a miracle was, and so I raised my hand. Oh, James doesn't believe in miracles. He's a skeptic. The class murmured, oh, I thought I was in big trouble then. But our minister, maybe he read an early version of Ries's book, our minister was a very educated man. And he said, good, James wants to learn more about miracles. He's curious. He wants to ask questions. He wants to discover more. He's a skeptic. Whew. I was off the hook. So we've come to the second half of the fifth agreement. Be skeptical, but learn to listen. Learn to listen. Well, I will conclude with this story from our Unity Prayer Chaplain program. About 20 years ago, I was trained as a prayer chaplain, just as we train individuals here in our church to be prayer chaplains. And one of the most valuable ideas I gained was the concept of listening from the heart. Listening from the heart. It's another way to express this fifth agreement. When a prayer chaplain is asked for prayer, the individual usually gives a reason for the request. My spouse and I are fighting. My boss criticizes me all the time. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. My neighbors don't like me because they don't talk to me whenever I'm out in my yard working. The prayer chaplain listens from the heart. In a way, they're skeptical. They don't take the statements at face value. They know that there is a deeper reality going on within this individual. And so they in turn pray for that individual for safety, security, harmony. They acknowledge the concerns that the individual asked them to pray for, but they look beyond that to a deeper, unspoken reality that that person needs affirmation. Validation. They need to hear the spoken word that says you are worthy. Your life is valuable. And so, they are skeptical and they learn to listen from the heart for a more lasting truth in that individual. So I invite you to be skeptical this week, but also learn to listen beyond the opinions and remarks of the day. And know your spirit can perceive the truths of life that last, are permanent, are really radiations of the God source behind your very existence. So I invite you to plant this in your mind for just a moment. Turn your attention within and say, Spirit, I am willing to be skeptical. I am willing to ask questions. I'm willing to learn more.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.